Yesterday was President Trump's first full cabinet meeting. The press was invited in for the opening. The president called himself the most successful president ever, with a few exceptions. He then invited his cabinet members, each of them, to share a few words. And what followed was a lavish praise pylon by almost every member of the cabinet. It was a kind of odd spectacle. Joining me now in Chicago, from Chicago, is John Meacham, presidential historian and Pulitzer Prize-winning author. John Meacham, welcome back to One Point. Great to have you here.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
Listen with us for just a minute, John, to just a little bit. I mean, there were almost two dozen people at that big table, but I just wanted to share a flavor on tape here of what transpired once the president opened the floor. Here was, right off the bat, first one, Mike Pence, VP.
Greatest privilege of my life is to serve as vice president to a president who's keeping his word to the American people and assembling a team that's bringing real change, real prosperity, real strength back to our nation.
Greatest privilege of his life. Here, Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price.
President, what an incredible honor it is to lead the Department of Health and Human Services at this pivotal time under your leadership. I can't thank you enough for the privilege that you've given me and the leadership that you've shown.
And one more, Chief of Staff Reince Priebus at the cabinet meeting.
On behalf of the entire senior staff around you, Mr. President, we thank you for the opportunity and the blessing that you've given us to serve your agenda and the American people, and we'll be continuing to work very hard every day to accomplish those goals.
Okay, we've got the idea. John Meacham, you're our presidential historian. To my ear, and I guess many of this sounded quite unusual, but you tell us, is there precedent for this kind of, wow, you're the greatest, Mr. President, and we're all going to say so one at a time with cameras rolling?
There's total precedent for you're the greatest, Mr. President, where we enter as ever new territory under the 45th president is with the cameras rolling in the cabinet room. You know, the Oval Office, the cabinet room, the White House, Air Force One, has this remarkable capacity to render even the most staid and prideful and serious-minded people into, I'm going to use a technical historical term here, into Jello throughout history. People around the president end up being impressed by the aura of power, the personality of the person. Remember, a politician's unit of commerce is to make you respect and even love them. I mean, that's what they do. The difference here, as you note, is that this was almost a formalized apprentice-like episode, where each person was to pledge their fealty and express their indebtedness to Trump. The best analogy I can think of, and it was something that happened in private, is the Nixon tapes, which I highly recommend to everyone.
Okay, great.
Are full of moments where people would call in, particularly after Nixon gave a speech. You know, he was never wildly comfortable giving televised addresses, despite the fact that he thought he was pretty good at it from Checkers forward.
Yep.
And he used to arrange, the staff used to arrange, for members of the cabinet, for governors like Ronald Reagan, to call in after he had given a speech to tell Nixon how well he had done. One of the most heartbreaking moments, to some extent, in modern presidential history is on the night that he announced that Haldeman and Ehrlichman were leaving office. This was April 30th, 1973.
Yeah.
And he hoped that this was going to turn the page on Watergate. He asks Bob Haldeman to call around and drum up those calls about the speech.
Oh my gosh.
Which he had fired, essentially,
yeah.
Bob Haldeman.
Give me the reassurance I need. Line it up. Let me hear it.
Exactly, even though he just fired the guy.
Yeah.
So we're sort of in that zone, and I think the Nixon analogy is the closest one I can think of.
But isn't it quite a different zone when it has this kind of almost ceremonial, formalized, public presentation? I mean, that, where you sort of roll cameras and everybody steps up one by one to say in front of the whole country on camera how great you are, dear leader,
yeah.
That's where it starts to feel kind of banana republically, or even North Korea, you know, Kim Jong-un. It's like a toady fest of our cabinet members.
Yeah, my thought was that, you know, they were all sort of maybe trying out for the Baghdad Bob role. Remember the Saddam spokesman who, while the missiles were falling, said there are no missiles here. It's yet another example, and a vivid one, of this not so subtle shift in Trump world, where it is entirely the cult of personality. And the other interesting thing here, I think, is all this followed Trump saying, laughably so, ludicrously so, that this was the most active administration, with possibly the exception of Franklin Roosevelt, in history. That he had passed legislation, that he had done so much.
Give us a truth check on that.
How much time you got? I mean, almost no legislation has passed. They've repealed Obamacare. We don't know what's in the bill in the Senate. He signed a number of executive orders, but many of them are just sort of exhortations. Several of the serious-minded executive orders he signed have been stopped by the courts, in a good sign that rule of law is prevailing. But it's a case of, you know, Trump has always suffered from what I might call superlativitis, right? And so he has to be the most this, the best that. And he has to hear constant praise of himself. And he has now put the official officers, including one constitutional officer, the vice president of the United States. Remember, vice presidents are, you know, serve in administration, but he's the only man in that room, I think, who has an oath to and has his own constitutional role.
Yep.
I go back to, I haven't spent a great deal of time watching The Apprentice, but this does remind one of the ethos of that, of the boardroom table, of people currying favor with Trump. And let's just remember, this is not a reality show. This is our reality.
That very clear yesterday, as the president with his cabinet kind of showing maybe how he expects it to be done. You want to address me? Bend that knee a little bit.
Exactly.
John Meacham, thank you so much for being with us. Author of Thomas Jefferson, of American Lion, on Andrew Jackson, of Destiny and Power. Pulitzer Prize-winning historian. Thank you very much for being with us, John.
Thanks, Tom.
Listeners, thank you for joining us today. As always, you can continue this conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm on Twitter at Tom Ashbrook, NPR. This is On Point.